Hello, this is Stephanie Peterson. Hello, this is Stephanie Peterson and Oceana LeBlanc with Practical Witchery. Good morning. Hi, Oceana.
Good morning. Here we are again. This is
here
great.
We are.
I'm loving
and
it.
Today is a beautiful day here. One more day to celebrate our life here on Earth. And Oceana, what do you want to talk about today?
Oh, today we have that juicy topic we talked about, which is harnessing the power of sexuality in your magic.
I am so excited by this. This is really, really a fun topic. It's an exciting topic. It's a frightening topic, and it's a topic that Oceana and I talk about all the time.
Frightening.
I think it's for a lot of people because it's not the good girl thing. It's not the law of attraction book that you pick up at the books at Barnes and Noble, kind of the good girl's guide to the universe. It has overtones or undertones of, all kinds of other things.
Well, it's really, really interesting you say that because, it actually is law of attraction. It's what they left out. And I'm starting to hear rumblings here and there. People are finally starting to talk about that chapter in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill about sex transmutation. Like, no one would talk about it for so long. And so if you didn't know where law of attraction came from and the original pioneers of metaphysics, and you weren't familiar with Napoleon Hill's work, then you wouldn't even know that it was missing. And that's the thing, like for 35 years I've been sitting here going, how come none of this, none of the new age things that I'm seeing talk about this crucial element of manifestation?
Well, let's backtrack because I think a lot of people might not even know what we're talking about when we talk about using sexual energy to, to get what we want. And what does that mean to use sexual energy? Does it mean to be having sex constantly? Does it mean to think about sex all the time?
Although that can be, I think there's, personally, I think balance in everything. And we find our balance by, trying things out, obviously. But I think that the people, to me, it's a sort of a charisma in one respect. You can say, sexuality, the people that are most charismatic are usually people that have this magnetic quality, which energetically comes from sexual energy.
Yeah.
It really does. That's the place where it's generated, that charismatic sense. And I mean, we know it. You look at any male leader who's got a ton of charisma.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And eventually you're going to find out somewhere in there he had either some really intense sexual, appetite, or he was, doing something that's, definitely not Puritan.
Right.
Or if they are, it's a cover. They've got some other shadow thing going on sexually. And that's not to say it's bad or wrong or right or making judgment about it. It's just that's what's so, right? It's just there's a lot.
Yeah.
Wherever there's charisma, wherever there's powerful manifesting, there is powerful sexual energy, even if it's not spoken about. That's my opinion.
Okay.
What do you think?
Awesome. I really agree with you. I think that just the love of sex and the love of sexual energy and the love of orgasm and the love of all of those, juicy, wonderful things does make a person very, very charismatic and magnetic. And it gives that person an aura that's very different from someone who tolerates sex or doesn't even have sex.
There are those who have, there are other ways to manifest for sure. It doesn't mean you have to have sexual energy in order to have great magic or manifest. It's just that it's like I think, and I could be wrong, there's probably people out there that are very into manifestation magic and sex magic and and other types of, you know, manifesting principles and teachings who will argue with this because they've got their own take on it. But I think it's the difference between using a lot of rolled up newspaper to start a fire and, you know, fuel infused starter sticks and logs that are just going to burn no matter what. They're just going to go. You know, you don't have to work as hard at it. It's like the steroids for magic.
Mm-hmm. That analogy. It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Now, let's talk a little bit about, let's get even further into the practical aspect of this, because I think a lot of people might be listening and say, well, that sounds really fantastic. I want to try that. But what does it actually look like in practice to use sexuality as a manifestation tool? What does it look like? I mean, what does it look like?
It can look a lot of ways. It can look like the obvious, darling. It can look like people are having sex, right? And they're using that energy in ritual. Yes. And there's the great rite between the goddess and the god, and they will, you know, people in high magic, people will literally channel goddess energy and god energy and then have a great rite. That's not the common, like for you and me, we're going to, you know, or somebody's listening, they're going to like want to do a spell to, you know, generate that, you know, extra $500 for the rent this month or whatever they're doing. Then it can be as simple as just feel completely turned on in whatever that means for you. You know, some people get turned on just looking at a commercial with hot men in it. You know, some people get turned on by a sunset. Some people just feel aroused when they're just really happy, right? Like little dogs that hump your leg. They're so happy to see you, you know.
Right.
It may not mean they want to have sex with you. They're just like thrilled, right?
Right.
And so it can be anything from just feeling really in your pleasure, right? About and it's, there's a fire to it, a spark to it when you're actually doing magic, right? When you're doing a ritual or you're casting a spell of some type. And sometimes we got to get into that too, the explanation of what does that mean, casting a spell? What does it mean doing ritual, right? But for now, like, assuming people know what that means, then, right? I mean, how do you go about doing it? I mean, you could self-pleasure during the ritual and then use that focus, that energy on your intention.
Mm-hmm.
You could be making love with your partner and doing a spell as you're making love and sending that orgasmic energy out into the universe and releasing that intent, the vision, right? There's so many ways, right? It's not
just one way. Oceana, is you know how we talk a lot about how important feelings are to help propel, generate energy, to help make things happen. Because a lot of people think they want things and they think about them, but there's no feeling behind it. So feeling is kind of the motor. There's no bigger feeling than a sexual feeling. So
exactly. And you know, the other thing, gateway, like orgasm, especially this gateway of gratitude and fulfillment and satisfaction. And so if you're going into a spell with neediness and scarcity and feeling like, oh, I hope I get that because I really need it and I want it, it's like you're coming from a different vibration than the one that you want. And you really have to strive to match the vibration of what you want in order to manifest it and suck it into your
earth.
Right? Like life attracts life. So if you're in orgasm, you are in sync, in vibration to the largest creative energy on the planet.
Well, figuratively,
you really are.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And you're also very, very relaxed and open. So there's the gratitude, but you're also, you have that kind of non-attachment, which
it's
we talk about so much,
exactly.
Which is, it's so hard to come by.
Yeah, so important. And
oh,
so if you're like sitting there attached to the outcome, and it has to be a certain way, and then you keep like going back to wishing you had it without letting go and surrendering that, you know, that magical, that conjure, then you're not going to get it because you've got strings, you know, pulling it every which way. And the universe can't.
You're anchored, right.
Can't deal it out. Can't deal the cards when you've got tape around them, you know.
Yeah, right. You have to let go of control, which actually orgasm is the ultimate letting go of control.
It is, and it's so much easier than trying to do it in your mind, right? It's just...
It's true. It's more fun, too.
It really is, because if we're going about it intellectually, it can be done. I'm not saying it can't, but if you're going about it intellectually, then there's that, you know, that fight with the ego to let go of control, whereas if you're just, you know, you're just enjoying the process and surrendering to however it shows up, you know, once you release it, the easiest way to do that is just to be completely in your pleasure, which you and I mean, we've studied this, like, right? We've studied this with...
Oh, we have.
You know, in New York. Yes. Like, we know
yes, absolutely. No, it's so interesting that going back to that whole Napoleon Hill book, which I actually just got done rereading a few weeks ago.
Good girl, right?
Yeah. You know, it just called to me. And that one chapter, I definitely went straight to that chapter, looked at it, and it made me laugh because it was written way back when, you know, the 20s or so, when you can't, they couldn't talk about the nuts and bolts of sexuality. They couldn't use words. They couldn't use terminology. So it's all very glossed over. So if you are not tuned in and you read that chapter, you may not feel like you come away with a lot of meat. Figuratively and literally again. But it's so interesting, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many innuendos and there's so many, but it's there. And he definitely does talk about right sexuality. So, I mean, I think that's another concern of people who would like to use this is, am I going to look like some crazy horny person that's just running around randomly being disrespectful of my own needs and others in the pursuit of using sex to get what I want? And Napoleon Hill really emphasizes there's a right way to do it.
Yes, there is. And it's really, you're harnessing a power. You're harnessing an energy that's, it lies dormant in the first chakra. I mean, it is the life force. You're harnessing the life force inside your energetic self, right? And you're focusing it for in a direction. And you, I mean, it really just all about balance, like I said. I mean, there's a responsible way to do something and an irresponsible, many ways to do something.
Right.
There's
many
ways to do a lot of things, right? It's just how how balanced are you? How aligned are you in your, you know, how are you a master? Are you a beginner? Are you still struggling with, you know, with certain, and we're all struggling at, you know, growing, continuing to expand.
Sure.
But I mean, if your chakras are in balance, then your results will be more balanced.
right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really makes sense because we do see so many people who are just so, they throw themselves into this, and you don't want to throw yourself into anything. It's about intention. So it's not random promiscuity. It is intention.
Right.
It really
right. And
is.
You can be alone and do this. It's not like you don't have to go out and sleep with 100 people, you know, and if you're, you know what I mean? It's not about putting yourself in harm's way. It's not about going, it's especially not about going against your values. You know, if you have, when I work with people as a coach, like one of the biggest things that gets them really clear is honing down their values. Like, what are their top five, mm-hmm. top 10 values? Like, really clear about it, because from there, the confusion just clears when it comes to making choices and decisions and, you know, business decisions and, you know, what like getting clear about what you want to manifest in your life. All of it about what, you know, what's important to you in a relationship, if it's relationship coaching. So, you know, like values top.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
and
remember,
so,
you and I
the same with anything.
Right.
We talked about it, right?
I remember a conversation we had around polyamory, because a lot of our friends were, you know, really, really experimenting with that, thinking that that was the way to tap into this, kind of that frenzy energy.
And some people
and that felt
do
so wrong
that's a really juicy. So some people do have a really amazing experience of that, because that's in alignment with their values, and they're comfortable with it, and that is their soul's expression. And then there's some that, you know, they're just like, so not. It's just, you know, like one person at a time is really in alignment with their soul's expression. It just depends. And, you know, and the thing, I guess ultimately it's like, wow, you know, like to judge somebody else's soul's expression is kind of like, you know, wow, you know, I think you're evil because you were born with brown hair. Well, you know, it's not their fault. Like, that's their soul's expression. And then, of course, there's all the in-between things with them. If somebody is trying it and it's not working for them, you know, they haven't gotten clear about their expression. They haven't gotten clear. And it's okay to research, right? It's okay to research. It's just, you know, if your intention is to find your truth, then, like, use your life experiences as tools. And get clear. Get clear. Like, the more clear you are, the more something feels right in your body in terms of, are you comfortable with it or uncomfortable with it? Uncomfortable with it, the more it's in alignment with your soul, because the body doesn't lie.
No, it does not. It does not. And so let's talk more about intention for those who really feel like they want to take a break from partners. They want to be by themselves. It is an intention. It's not a fear, but it's an intention. So how can someone who decides to be by themselves tap into sexual energy?
If they want to be alone and they want to tap into sexual energy, find ways to have pleasure inside of yourself. Be, you know, self-pleasure, like, is the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, get comfortable with self-pleasure. Like, do things that are pleasurable, that are relaxing, that, that make you feel sensual. A lot of what I do with women that I coach is, like, get, you know, wear things that feel sensual against your skin. Be in your pleasure. You know, do things that feel good. Like, and it's not always the same for everyone. There are some go-tos that a lot of people enjoy, like a bubble bath and, you know, beautiful silk clothing and, you know, divine essential oil blends that smell amazing and, you know, beautiful long walks or going to the ocean. I don't know. A lot of people have similar ones in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Things that get your erotic creature, like the primal part of you that's physical, in touch with sensory experiences that feed your soul through all of your senses. Like, that's the closest way I can describe it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I just want to jump in here and talk a little bit about judgment, both for those of you who decide to be alone for a while and those of you, you know, who are experimenting. Oceana, you touched on this, but I think it's really important when you do use this as a tool, or even if you're not using it as a tool, just in general, to put away the judgment. It's really hard to use sexual energy as a tool when you're judging either your own use of it, or you're worried that there's something wrong with you because you've decided to be alone, or you're judging other people for experimenting in other ways. Judgment is just really going to make this difficult for you. And it's really going to take your pleasure away, too.
You know, it also gets you stuck up in your head, you know. And, like, if you're in your brain completely, it's hard to, I mean, you know, some people, you know, there's always this, you know, that people find each other. There are some people that find things attractive and sensual and sexual intellectually. So that's okay. I'm not saying don't do that, but if you're stuck completely in your head with it, it's kind of hard to feel anything from the neck down. So judgment is in the head. I mean, I don't know a body that does judgment, like in and of itself, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's an energy that's contracted. So if you're in judgment, then you have some level of fear going on, which is the opposite of love and gratitude, which are big. Those are like, you know, flowers to the bees of manifesting and conjuring.
Absolutely. You're not sending energy out. You're pulling it into yourself and closing the doors and tightening the windows and the shutters. So you don't want that. You want to open everything up and send it out.
In a sense, what I'm thinking as we're talking is if you're alone and you're manifesting, then it's about, you know, having an affair with the universe, you know, getting, you know, like you're attracting the universe, like you get to be the seductress of the universe. That's pretty hot.
That's super hot. That is super hot. I like that too. So yeah, I wanted to actually ask you, Oceana, to help me come up with maybe a ritual or a way that people can play with this. You know, when they come off off the show today or tonight or use this week, and that perhaps is the exercise right there. You know, be in partnership with the universe.
Yeah.
That would be pretty hot.
Just if you're going to do something where you want to do a spell or a ritual to manifest something, then, you know, you begin with the seduction of your own body in whatever way that feels good to you. You know, for me, I love taking bubble baths. Like, that is just my happy place. And so it's just so relaxing and soothing, and then, you know, it smells so good, and then follow it with some beautiful body lotion, and then, you know, maybe, like, oftentimes I like to bring some really erotic fruit with me, you know, or just something sensual treat, something chocolate and fruit or something with me into the circle, right, before I begin. And then that becomes a part of raising the energy of pleasure, because I just find food so sexy and pleasurable. The taste, the scent, the texture. And so, like, you know, when you're doing a ritual, you're going to be raising energy. And so the more turned on you are, then the more powerful you're infusing that magic. So you really want to, you know, I would say, you know, the homework would be bring some sensual delicacies into the circle with you and raise energy that way. And maybe some really hot music that makes you, you know, move and sway in a way that feels really sexy. So those,
I like that.
Those elements are really powerful. And that's an easy way to bring sex transmutation energy, to quote Napoleon Hill, into your magic. Real easy ways. Whatever turns you on. I mean, you could do it naked and just rub, you know, massage yourself with oil, a scented oil, while you're in the circle. You know, that would be really erotic. And then you take all of that turn on and then you focus it with your intention into the vision of what you desire. You focus it into the vision. So if you're writing it out in an affirmation, you focus all that energy in up in through your arms, into your hands, and fingers, into the pen, onto the paper. So you're really focusing that energy into what you're writing. That would be a really powerful way to use, you know, to do some sexy energy raising for your magic.
And you can remember that feeling even later and pull up that feeling and pull up the memory of that and use it. Maybe you're going to make a candle the next day. You're going to be in court and need some magic, or you're going to be facing something. You can pull that experience up and relive it and use that energy.
I love that.
Yeah, that's such
an important point. You nailed it. Because that memory of it really gives it, like, it gives it a life, and so it's so much easier to go back to that feeling when it's connected to the vision, and that feeling is what's going to attract it faster, right? So good.
Right. I think that's why when we first fall in love with someone, and there's all those teeny little experiences, all those little build-ups, and all the tension, and those gorgeous little encounters, and we're constantly replaying them in our brain, and it's so fun. And we notice during those times, we tend to suck in a lot of wonderful, you know, treats. I think it's because we are constantly living in those lovely memories with that lovely energy. So you can pull that up anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These things can happen
really good
too, you know. I feel like, you know, and a lot, you know, we really are doing magic, like, all the time. All the time. We just don't know it. We are. Like the
things we talk about,
you know, the emotion we put into things is a way of raising energy. So if you're passionately upset about something and you keep repeating what you don't want, you know, like, I'm so mad this is going to happen and I'm so angry about it, then you're just fueling that happening, right? That thing you don't want. So I think it's really important to also mention, like, just, like, we've seen this a million times with the women that we are surrounded with in our community, and that is, you know, pleasure as a spiritual practice. It's a magical spiritual practice that you can use in a moment. You know, just sink into your pleasure and desire something, and bam, you can manifest it that fast.
You can manifest it that fast, and you can bring everyone around you higher, whether they know what you're doing or not.
Right, exactly. And they don't
That's
even
awesome.
Have to know. I mean, they can't even tell. It can be a completely internal thing. But the energy that you emanate when you're in that space is so attractive.
It's head-turning energy. Absolutely.
Yeah. People really want to be around that. And that brings us back to charisma. That's what charisma is. Yeah.
And this was such a good topic for our Scorpio moon show here, because Scorpio is kind of that magnetic. Oh, my God. Irresistible.
Very sexy
sign.
Irresistible, dark, erotic Scorpio. Scorpio.
Go. Awesome.
Oh, this
awesome,
was so
awesome.
Good. Stephanie, I so want people to know where they can find us. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find Oceana at her website, Goddess Oceana, and that's ocean with an A on the end, goddessoceana.com.
Yep.
You can find me at stephaniepeterson.com, and Peterson is all E's and a D. So go there and find both of us and say hello to us.
Yeah, absolutely. We really want to hear from you. And Stephanie is an amazing author. You've got how many, 30 books out or more now? Like a ton of books on nutrition, and also now we're getting into, you know, other juicy topics. And I'm actually going to be on a telesummit. I just want people to know, December 5th through 12th, and there's going to be over 20 experts on offering gifts, free gifts on ritual and self-care, called the Sacred Self-Care Win as well, but that'll be on my website. So
awesome. So go to Oceana's website and see that, and we'll post more links on this show page too. So feel free to always click on those and see what's up with us. It was so great having
your
questions
and comments. It really was. This was so much fun. I can't wait till next week. We'll be back on Tuesday at 11.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.